Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
The readings for today are proper for the memorial of St. Lucy, and the Gospel from Matthew 25 relates the parable of the 10 virgins. So we'll offer a brief commentary on this powerful and sobering parable. We'll unpack it for you. Keep in mind the context of Jesus' words here in Matthew 24. He speaks of the need for watchfulness. Then he speaks of the faithful and unfaithful servant. He gives the parable of the talents in Matthew 25 and then speaks of the judgment of the nations. And sandwiched in between all of that is today's parable of the wise and foolish virgins. So this whole last discourse of Jesus in Matthew's gospel is what we call eschatological. It means it deals with end time realities. The bridegroom in the parable is Jesus Christ himself. Can the wedding guests fast as long as the bridegroom is with them? Jesus said of himself in Matthew 9:15, so he is the bridegroom. Some commentators said the 10 virgins refer to all of humanity, since in truth everyone's going to be judged by Christ. Most likely the 10 virgins here refer to all Christians, all those who received the gift of faith. You'll understand why as we go forward. Some are called wise, some are called foolish. So there are wise or faithful Catholics, and there are foolish and unfaithful Catholics. This lines up with what Jesus said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount as well, when he spoke of those disciples who hear his words and don't act on them. He calls them fools. And he spoke of those who hear his words and act on them. He called those people wise. That's in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Jesus speaks of 10 virgins. The number 10 in Scripture is used to symbolize an indefinite multitude of people. It also symbolizes totality. Plus, one commentator noted that 10 was the usual number of bridal attendants at a wedding in Judea in Jesus' time. So number 10 works out well from different perspectives. The lamps of the virgins symbolize the gift of faith that we all receive at baptism. And the light from the lamps refers to the good works that we do. So says St. Gregory the Great. And he borrows from St. James, James 2:17, when he says that faith without works is dead. So faith here refers to having the lamp. Not having works means not having oil in the lamp, which is what the foolish virgin's problem is. So says St. Gregory. St. Augustine, for his part, says that the oil in the lamps refers to right intention. So the wise Christians do their good works for love of God and love of neighbor. The foolish ones do their good works to be seen and to receive praise from other people. So both faithful and unfaithful Christians and Catholics do good works that people see. But the foolish and unfaithful ones do good for purely human and selfish motives. And so the good that they do really doesn't earn them any credit before God. Remember Jesus' words again from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, when he says that those who give alms and pray and fast so that others can see that they're doing these things, he said they already have their reward in this life. So they won't have any reward in the next life. That's what St. Augustine says regarding the lack of oil in the lamps of the foolish virgins. They did their good deeds for purely natural motives. There was nothing supernatural about them. Origen and St. Hilary said that waiting for the bridegroom in the parable signifies the uncertainty of our lifespan. So no one knows the hour and death of his judgment. In verse 5, Jesus says that the bridegroom was long delayed, and so all the virgins became drowsy and they fell asleep. The delay refers to the time between Jesus' ascension and his second coming, when he'll come to judge the living and the dead, as we recite every Sunday in the Creed. The delay also refers to the time between when we're born and baptized and until the hour of our death, too. When he'll come for us personally, not just for everyone. At the end of every Hail Mary, what do we pray? We ask Our Lady to pray for us now and when? At the hour of our death, that most important hour for each of us. Jesus delays in coming so that we'll have time to repent of our sins, so that we'll have time to do good works. So it's actually a good delay. It's not like a traffic jam delay or an airport delay. This is actually a good delay by our Lord. Because of his delay, the virgins become drowsy and they fall asleep. Drowsiness symbolizes illnesses and infirmities that lead up to our death. And sleep means death itself. As Jesus noted in the gospel, remember when he spoke of Lazarus having died, he said, we have to go. Our friend Lazarus is asleep. Let's go to wake him. I'm going to go wake him out of his sleep, Jesus said in John 11:11. So Jesus calls death sleep. You'll see that euphemism a number of places in the scripture. Drowsiness and sleep have also been interpreted by others to mean that people just stop thinking about our Lord's second coming, so that he simply comes when they aren't expecting him. Verse 6 says, at midnight there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. The cry is not a baby's cry that wakes people up at night. The cry refers to the archangel's trumpet at the second coming. You see that in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And midnight refers to an unexpected hour. Jesus ends the parable by saying that we don't know the day nor the hour of his coming. He says that in Matthew 25:13. And actually, some commentators, when you read about this, they think that our Lord will actually come at midnight, literally at midnight. Because in the Old Testament, if you remember what happened in the book of Exodus, God came at midnight to release the Egyptians, to release the Hebrews. He actually rescued them at midnight, and he actually executed the plague of the death of the firstborn of the Egyptians at that time. So some people think that midnight is actually when Jesus is going to come. Certainly whenever he comes, it's going to be midnight somewhere in the world. Somewhere it will be midnight. At the coming of the bridegroom, the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. We read in verse 7, St. Hilary says that this refers to the return of our souls to our bodies at the second coming. Very interesting. It also refers to waking up in the next life. When we meet Christ for our particular judgment, and we have to give an account to him for how we spent our time on earth. The foolish virgins wake up and they notice that they don't have any more light because they have no more oil. Meaning, as we said before, that they either really didn't do any good works at all, or they actually did good works for selfish motives. They didn't do them for love of God. It also means that they died in mortal sin, very simply. The foolish Christians and foolish Catholics seemed to be spiritually alive during their lifetime. They went to Mass, they received Holy Communion, they even maybe said some prayers each day. But in reality, they were spiritually dead. They were the tares that grew up with the wheat that Jesus speaks of in another parable. In Matthew 13. In the parable, the foolish virgins then ask for assistance from the wise ones, but it's too late. St. Augustine says that the counsel of the wise virgins to go and buy oil from the dealers is a way of saying to them, go back to all those whom you gave all your good actions to and see what their praises will do for you now. What peace of conscience they can give you. And if they have praised you and made you esteemed in the eyes of men, see if they can do the same before God, says St. Augustine. So St. Augustine sees the response of the wise virgins more as a rebuke, more than as a word of counsel. And the foolish virgins are so desperate and foolish that they take those words literally and they run off and seek for help. They go off, and meanwhile, the wise virgins go into the marriage feast with the bridegroom, and the door behind them is shut. Meaning, as St. Jerome says, that there's no more room for prayers and good works at the final judgment. Our Lord himself says in the gospel, the night comes when no one is able to work. He says that in John 9:4. And so when we pass from this world to the next world, the time for good works is over. The foolish virgins return and knock on the door. They say, Lord, Lord, open to us. And Jesus responds, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Matthew 25:12. I do not know you. Very terrifying words. It means you are disowned. means I will not associate you with you in the afterlife. It means God doesn't know you, heaven doesn't know you, the angels don't know you, the saints don't know you, but the devil knows you. Death knows you, hell knows you, because you belong to them, not to God. It's essentially what our Lord is saying there. And it's consistent with everything that he says in the gospel about Judgment Day. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, for example, Jesus speaks of the foolish Christians who will say to him at the last day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, says Jesus, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. Matthew 7, 23 and 24. The moral of the story, or the overarching message, comes in the last verse, verse 13, when Jesus says, watch therefore, for you do not know the day nor the hour. Our Lord says that we have to be spiritually vigilant at all times. That doesn't mean that we have to be anxious or scrupulous or fearful of God. No, vigilance means vigilance. The word vigil is in the word vigilance. It means to be prayerfully watchful, to be awake, to not be slothful or negligent with the gifts that God has given us. And if we struggle in these areas, well, we should ask Our Lady for help in these areas. Lastly, St. Augustine says this. He says, let every man for his profit think about his last day. It's God's mercy that man knows not when he dies. The last day lies hidden so that all days may be watched. And then he says this, watch with the heart, watch with faith, watch with love, watch with charity, watch with good works. Make ready the lamps, make sure they don't go out. Renew them with the inner oil of an upright conscience. Then shall the bridegroom enfold you in the embrace of his love and bring you into his banquet room where your lamp will never be extinguished, says St. Augustine very beautifully. So let's ask Our Lady today for the grace to take our Lord's words truly to heart and put them into practice so that he and our Blessed Mother will be proud of us when we stand before them in the next life. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.